And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time date is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. The day today is the 7th of June, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunny Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic, a man who has been subject to certain criticisms recently that has gotten me feeling a little bit under the weather. And without revealing too much, a week ago, I recorded, James was alarmed to learn that, like, was it 10, 11 o'clock at night?
I got an email. After we had recorded our episode, I got an email that was very much titled as if it was another episode.
I sent James an email that was titled BNC 88 Emergency. And I just sent him a text that was like, hey, go ahead and upload that. And we came to the very adult conclusion that we should not upload it.
But I appreciate it. You didn't have to do what you did. It's true love. I appreciate what you did. You didn't have to do that. I'm assuming you're going to talk about it. I am confident in my own skin and don't feel the need to necessarily address people, but I truly appreciated your passion for it.
I went through something very recently where I felt a little bit rubbed the wrong way that people weren't there to defend me in the way that I wish that they would have. So when I come across people over varying mediums that have things to say about James that are fundamentally wrong, and This idea that people have thrown out there that I do agree with is, if people hear information, sourced real information that they disagree or that isn't what they want to hear, that means that it is inherently false. I believe that people are operating that way. And so, unfortunately for some people, when they hear James preparing them for certain realities, and in this instance, that certain reality is the fact that Keegan Murray might be on your basketball team and that Jaden Ivey might not be. One thing that I said in there that I do feel comfortable saying right now, James does not give a shit who Troy Weaver drafts. He doesn't care. No. I like to make the jokes that, like, Hamadou is his little buddy and, like, he, you know, he's got these little guys. James doesn't care because his job is to report the information that he hears so that people aren't blindsided if on draft night they get up there and they draft Keegan Murray, or if the cards change and something does happen and they draft Jaden Ivey, they draft Jaden Sharp, hell, they draft Duren, they get Ben Math, whatever it is. James's job is to tell you what he hears, and that's what he was doing. And I
shout out to Jaden Sharp.
And people were taking it the wrong way. And, it pissed me off in such a way that I unfortunately went a little incendiary for about a 10-minute emergency episode, and we decided to pull back. And in there, I said I shouldn't have to defend James, and part of me doesn't really feel like that I need to be doing this, and some of it's overkill. But at the end of the day, when so many people were saying so many disrespectful things, I know this, like, bandwagon dogpile mentality that people tend to have, and there's a very specific reason why I know about that, some certain instances why I'm accustomed to this feeling, and mm-hmm. I don't want that shit to happen to you. So that is why I did feel the need, and still do feel the need a little bit, to correct some of the rhetoric that's out there. And as a punishment to those people, we're not talking about the draft today. No draft stuff.
Kind of, sort of, not draft stuff, but kind of.
But we're not doing the whole, like, we're not doing tier lists or big boards or anything like that. We're taking a week off from that. You'll have to get that from somewhere else because today, James.
Really quick, on your point. Thank you so much. Like I said, the stuff on Twitter and other I only saw it on Twitter. Where else it's coming from with the guys that have like named Aiden Hutchinson as their Twitter handle and a picture of Killian. Like that stuff doesn't bother me. I just I think as somebody as a black man who's made it to this point professionally that is not an easy place to make it to, I take pride in like my work. So I get offended when people say like, even if it's just like a dude with one follower, like the pride in me is like, I bust my ass. Like, I don't think people understand how hard it is to get like news or to get people to chatter. Like, I don't think people understand that takes years to do. So like my pride kicks in and like, I understand like certain jokes and stuff with about maybe certain player or certain trade, but to say I'm like not reputable, like with all due respect, who on the Pistons beat has broken more news than me? Who on the Pistons beat has like warned you months ahead of time about stuff happening? Like to say I'm just not reputable. I'm not saying that the Pistons, I've never once said the Pistons are going to draft Keegan Murray. I said I believe him, Ben Math, Sharp, and Ivy are in consideration, and to my knowledge, from based on conversations, I think Murray is the pick. I think Ben Math has a really good chance. I think Ivy has a chance. I think, though, from conversations, that Murray, if he's there, is the pick. That's all I've said. I could give, like Nick said, I could give a shit less who the team picks. I still cover them. I still get paid to do it. It is what it is. But to say I'm not reputable is disrespectful because, yeah, I mean, you can, when have I been wrong? Like, I've been trying to, like, when people said that, I was trying, like, let me get my shit off real quick. When I was trying to think, I'm like, have I, like, been wrong about a bunch of stuff? I'm like, I couldn't think of anything I was, like, wrong about, like, where I said this was going to happen and it didn't happen.
So you want me to actually, you want me to interject? Because I agree with you.
It's just food for thought.
And here's the thing that bothers me is when you do provide the examples of, here's some stuff that I've broken. Oh, well, that's just the Derrick Rose trade. We all knew he wanted, so we're moving the goalposts then, so now it doesn't matter. So now James is breaking the news that isn't, quote-unquote, that important.
Like, but okay, then they, gotcha. Like, forget that, like, yeah, maybe it was, like, the tea leaves were Derrick Rose was getting traded, but you didn't know what team.
No.
And we, the team, me and Shams threw out there, the Knicks, where did he get traded to?
Pretty like, sure again, it was the New York Knicks.
I don't want to go through this because I don't need to prove myself to anybody. Like, people who, like, are not trolls understand and know. But I just want to say I appreciate you. So we have a game.
Yes. Well, first, do you have anything to pump? You had a story come out today with Hollinger. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, me and Hollinger discussed DeAndre Ayton's availability, the fit with the Pistons, how the Pistons, the best avenue for them to get him, and if they even need to do anything splashy this summer. So check that out, me and Hollinger. Hollinger said that he, just talking to people, in his opinion, it is more likely than not that Ayton is on a different team next year. I have a favorite, as a basketball fan, I have a favorite Ayton scenario. Can I tell you real quick?
Yeah.
Sign and trade Jakobodo, Keldon Johnson to the Suns, and Hollinger mentioned on it. DeAndre Ayton to the Spurs. They have Ayton and DeJounte Murray and a bunch of cap space. Nick, where is DeJounte Murray from? Do you know?
I don't know this. I do not know
he's from Seattle.
I did know that. I did know that. Yep.
Do you know there is a big-name free agent? One of the few big-name free agents is from Seattle. Do you know his name?
That is Zach LaVine.
Boy, would that be fun. LaVine, Murray, and Ayton?
Well, DeJounte Murray also got in trouble. Somebody sent it to me, and I thought it was a bit. And this was, I thought, at this point, maybe a month ago or something.
Oh, yeah, the jersey swap?
He just, like, tweeted a jersey swap of Zach LaVine. And somebody sent it to me. I was like, is this a goof? And they're like, no, he actually did this. So, Yeah, I'm on board with this. When you said a dream scenario, I was going to interject and be like, it's the Spurs, isn't it? Because my whole thing has been, if it's not one of them, they will overpay for both Ayton and Zach LaVine. And I'm not mad at it, and I'm on board with it because I think it'll be kind of fun. I think, was it last week? did I throw out like Levine to the Nuggets or something? I think that the Spurs one would just be really fun.
That would be fun.
I'm 100% on board with that. And if it means, you know, like you guys did writing the stories. Well, actually, here's one thing that I do want to briefly, a little nugget from the story that I want to mention. Not that this was like this. I could look up the cap sheet and see this. But the little thing that Hollinger mentioned about Cade is the only guy on the books for 23-24 making at least $10 million. And I got really excited for a second because I was like, wait a second.
This is what James told you not to worry about.
But here's the thing, is by that time, we're going to be penning extensions. And we're going to be doing a bunch of other different crazy things. If we do something this summer, there's a whole bunch of different, like by next summer, we're going to, you know, like if the plan is such, by next summer, we're definitely going to be adding somebody else. So those cap sheets are still going to be hell. So I was brought back down to earth really, really quick. But I read the story this morning. It was great. Everybody else should go check it out. Is there a promotion on anything athletic related right now?
Yes. The continuous $1 for a subscription is still available.
Which I've been reading a lot about, how that is quote unquote too. I don't want to do this. What's the game today, James? What do you got for us?
Which Jeremy Grant trade does Nick like the most?
And how many do we have?
We have 7 or 8. So let me preface it with this.
Okay.
I think there are only 7 or 8 trades that actually, in 7 or 8 different teams, that actually make sense. Like I think if there is a trade, it is one of these scenarios. Some of them I've reported, others have reported. Some half of these you guys have heard before. It's no surprise. Then there's like 3 or 4 more that I've kind of either conjured up or like am curious if something can bubble or manifest with it.
Okay.
And I'm going to have you, I'm going to read them off to you. We'll have a quick conversation, and I want you to rank them as your favorite to least favorite Jeremy Grant trade as a Pistons fan.
So there are 2 teams that I'm hoping are on this list because I've been headstrong on the reality that these 2 teams are the ones that like they got some stuff that I'm really interested in, and I want to see if they made the cut. If not, we'll revisit it at the end. But without further ado, what's the first team?
All right. So do people like the unknown up top or at the end? Like when you're like for me when I listen to albums, like say example, I hate it when I'm listening to an album and the last song on an album is like a single. Like I want to end this album with like something unknown.
Get the radio stuff, the singles out of the way first, 100%.
Okay, so the 100%. Ones people have already heard, let's get that done first. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll start where we just talked about. Jeremy Grant, sign and trade for DeAndre Ayton. Where are you at?
I think this one, makes sense, I think, for both sides. I think I don't remember because we were talking about this privately or on the show last week. I don't remember which one it was, but we brought up the Phoenix thing. I think it was because I asked you if the trade doesn't happen on draft night, is it going to happen? Like, should I just if it?
Oh,
if,
yeah, yeah, yeah. We were
maybe we should revisit this just for the show. I think it's an interesting question. And then I'm sorry, we'll get right back to it. But if Jeremy Grant is not traded on draft night, are we biting the bullet and running it back until at least the deadline?
I don't think so. No, I don't think that means. I don't think that is the case. Like it could be, like sign and trade once free agency opens. The draft is first, right? Yeah, draft's first. So it could be sign and trade and free agency. I think, obviously.
Duh. Obviously, I guess. Yeah. If we're talking about DeAndre Ayton, then of course. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's not traded on draft night, then I think maybe you can assume there's a sign and trade coming.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, if it is the DeAndre Ayton one, I'm just actually gonna, you know, a little spoiler alert. I'm gonna use the Hollinger one, which was like you throw in. It was like Jeremy, Luca. I think Frank was in there, and it was for like DeAndre Ayton and Torrey Craig was in there too. And Torrey Craig's a fun little two way wing. I'm on board with that. To me, that would be the prize. There would be a way where I'm like, we got Torrey Craig. Oh my god. Yeah. I don't hate that one.
And if the Pistons execute a sign and trade, I think Hollinger even said it in the piece, and I think my understanding of how the cap and stuff works, if it's a sign and trade, they'd be signing him with cap space. So they would still have, they'd still be able to like go above to keep Marvin, and still have other money to spend.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I think that one at least. just from the rip. I don't know. Maybe there's something in the chamber here, and I could be wrong, and I'll have to amend this later. But for right now, I think that if Pistons fans want to go get that guy this summer, they want to go get a big name, and they do want to use the cap space, I think that this is going to be one of your only avenues where it's actually feasible. Like, you're not going to go get LaVine. You're not going to get, you know, whoever else there is. So if you want that guy this summer, then this would be the trade for you. So just because it's the first trade that you've given so far, it is going to be number one. I don't think it's going to finish there, though.
All right. Again, on the following down the line of trades that have been discussed, Jeremy for number seven, and who would you take at seven? And I'll do the draft order. So say the draft order is Jabari, Chet, Paolo, Ivy, Murray. That's six.
Yep.
And then the Pacers take Sharp at wait. Oh, yeah, so the Pistons are back on the board at seven.
Yep, at seven. Yeah, it's Ben Math. Yep, it's Benedict Mathurin. And he's got one of the top three prettiest jumpers in the class. He's got that bounce where he's explosive, but he also floats. Pistons need scores. He's a scorer. Pistons need guys who are efficient. Not that bad. Pretty efficient. I've been on the Ben Math at seven train. I don't want him at five. And if you come away with Keegan Murray and Ben Math, I think it's one of the best classes that we've had in the last decade, outside of obviously the 2021. Not 2021, 2020, like that class. That
comma
one. Yeah.
One.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the last one that has been discussed publicly, which is one me and Chris Kirshner discussed. Jeremy Grant to the Atlanta Hawks for 16 and Bogey.
Yeah, this one I just don't feel as passionate about. And I think it's just me. I think it's maybe just the idea of having Bogdanović on this team. Like I would rather you go get Caris LeVert, or I would
rather...
Come
on, don't spoil.
Or I would rather you go get... Is it gross if I say I would rather have TJ Warren? I would rather have... you're going to go get a guy who can score, gross, just go get a bucket getter. And people are going to... I think... Pistons fans have wanted TJ Warren for long enough. I think there are definitely a section of fans that would maybe cite the age, and I don't know if those people are wrong, but it's also like, I don't know, you got nothing else going on right now? I don't know. At 16, I don't know. As far as the draft pick stuff goes, I would rather it be I would rather it be Portland or another team that might be in here. I don't want to accidentally spoil anything else.
Yeah,
so
spoiled. So,
well, I you didn't have to say anything. You could have just brought it up later on and been like, and in a great transition, team. I also just really quick going back on the Portland thing. I mentioned this to Laz. If I'm Portland, that doesn't move the needle for me. That's just not an interesting trade. I wouldn't want Jeremy for number seven, and that's not really. Maybe it is a little bit about Jeremy, but I don't know. That just wouldn't seem interesting to me. Getting 16 in Bogdanović just isn't really a needle mover for me. That's going to be at number three right now.
All right. So this is the start of ones that have not been discussed in some form or fashion publicly. This is one that I am personally, as a basketball fan, find very interesting.
Okay.
And I'll make it make sense. And you already hinted at it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Jeremy Grant to Cleveland. For 14 and Caris LeVert. So 14 speaks for itself. It's a lottery pick.
Yep.
Even though there's really no difference between 14 and 16, people get excited when they hear lottery pick. So you get your lottery pick. Then you get Caris LeVert, who, like Jeremy, is entering next season on an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. They make roughly the same amount of money. Caris LeVert fills the bucket getting void that the Pistons need aside next to Cade. Caris LeVert has connections, obviously, to the great state of Michigan. Caris LeVert has connections to Pistons organization members and coaches. I guess Beeline's part of the organization members. And to my knowledge, it's been a while, but last time I had kind of checked in, I got the sense that the Pistons were going to go after Caris LeVert in free agency anyway when he became one. Mm-hmm. So making this trade gets you Caris now, and any extension you want to give him, surely he's not – Caris doesn't deserve more than the $18 million he makes now. So you're either going to keep paying Caris what he's made and stretch it out, or you're going to get less. So that is obviously financially you're saving $8 million, $9 million based on probably what Jeremy will get in extension.
Yeah. Would this be the third time that Troy has traded for – and this maybe it's not really that uncommon for general managers to do this, but would this be the third time that Troy has, quote-unquote, gotten ahead of the free agency thing and traded for a guy that he knew he was going to want to sign down the line? Because he did it with Hamidou, he did it with Bagley, and if he did it with Caris LeVert. So I think it is honestly kind of the – if you want to read even more into the we like trades, we like free agency, but free agency is a little tricky, but, we'll do whatever the quote was that he just gave. I think his track record is certainly speaking for itself, that he would rather go get these guys, via the trade market than wait around until free agency when there's, all these. You get where I'm going with this? So
100%.
If Caris LeVert really is the guy that you wanted to get next summer, because it was 3 years, $52.5 million is the deal that he's on right now. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's – you would probably – he would be what, sixth then? He would just be first off the bench, right? Or would you put him in the starting five?
Start at the two.
Well, that's contingent on who you draft, though, isn't it? Do you think?
I mean, I still think whoever you draft is probably going to come off the bench. Like, especially if it's Sharp.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
Ivy. Like, I don't think they're ready now.
Okay, valid. This one is definitely near the top. I'm gonna put a pin in this one. It might be top two and it's not two. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to wait. But I know that Caris LeVert would be an absolute smash. That's like a fan service thing to me. That would be like when like a big Marvel or Star Wars movie, they do a fan service thing. Trading for Caris LeVert feels like fan service, but like the good kind.
No, it is a... Right. I mean, listen, Caris is getting older. I think he's actually older than Jeremy. Let me check Caris LeVert's age.
No shot. He's got to be, 27?
Okay, so they're the same age. He turns 28 in August.
Oh, so he is 27. Okay, well.
So, obviously injury history there.
Yes.
But with that being said, you're filling a void of a secondary bucket getter. At a decent, you'll save a decent amount on, as opposed to re-signing Jeremy. And if you draft Keegan Murray, that's your Jeremy filler. And
yeah,
you're rolling out. I feel like is a Cade, Caris, Sadiq, Keegan, Isaiah starting lineup for sure making the play-in. No, but it sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, I think that team is winning at least 33 games. How do you feel about that number? If I put it at 32.5, are you going over or under? That's a great number. It's a great number. I might.
Maybe they win last year, 23, 21.
Somewhere in the low 20s.
Can they make a 10-game improvement? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's interesting.
It's a good question. Okay, yeah. So on the Cleveland one, on board with these, I wrote it down. It was Caris and 14, you said, is what it was, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I like this one.
So there's maybe your Mark – get you a little Mark Williams at 14?
I don't hate it. Yeah, I don't hate that.
That's my favorite. That's one – I'm not reporting that it's been discussed, so don't – aggregators don't say it, but that's one I could I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't heard that it's been discussed, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does down the road. The next one, Jeremy Grant to the Miami Heat for Duncan Robinson.
There it is.
And a 2023 first round pick and then another future first round pick.
So I know that this was a trade that I was really worried about happening around the deadline, because I was convinced that if Miami pulled the trigger and did this exact trade, because I remember that we had kind of discussed it, and we were kind of like, but Duncan Robinson has been bad. Like, he's not been good this year. He was going into the deadline. It was like, oh my God, what is going on with Duncan Robinson? However, it's not like he's a bad basketball player. He's one of the better 3-point shooters that we have in the league. So, I just don't want to feed the beast that is Miami while then also having whatever pick we get in exchange be the Kevin Porter Jr. pick all over again. It's not interesting to me. So to me, that's a we're settling trade. To me, that's a, like, you are selling low. Everybody else balked or did whatever. Speaking of balking, you want to know a trade that I popped into my head the other day? One of my favorite little nuggets that you've given on this show. A year ago, when Phoenix backed out of the Jalen Smith for Sekou trade.
Oh, yeah.
I was re-listening to an old episode and you brought that up. And I was like, that trade does nothing for anybody. That's just interesting that was even a thing in the first place. No, I think the Miami, that trade, I think, is kind of a bottom of the barrel.
At the time, it did nothing for anybody. But Jalen Smith's shown some stuff.
I'm good. I'm okay. I'm all right. I mean, you're right. You know what? He's in a better spot than Sekou is. Yeah. I saw someone, it was a poll on Reddit, biggest bust of the decade, Henry Ellenson, Stanley, or Sekou. Who do you think won?
Probably Sekou, because people were irrationally hyped for a kid that went 15th overall and was 12 years old.
Well, it's because Giannis went 15 too.
The answer should have been Stanley.
It was Henry. Henry won. Which is valid. It's valid. No, because at least Stanley did some shit in a playoff series. I don't care if we got swept. Like, at least, you know, I don't know. At least you cook something up, and then you go and get Henry Ellenson, and it's like, ooh, him and Andre Drummond, we got this new mobile big, and nothing. Nothing. At least Sekou
Henry
did.
Was pick 19, and he was a child. He did 1 year at Marquette. Like Stanley was a top 7 pick that's
from modern day.
The league. Like, how old is Stanley right now?
Is he 23? What draft was that? 15? Was it 14, 15?
16. 15 or 16.
He was a rookie during the Cleveland series?
The LeBron thing, yeah. Stanley just turned 26, and he's already borderline out of the league.
No, come on. You watched him play for the Lakers last year. Don't do that. He was like literally him and Austin Reeves were like the only two dudes who knew how to play with LeBron. It was insane. Like, there were moments where people were like, is Stanley Johnson an NBA? And I'm really not trying to do this with the whole Stanley thing right now.
You are.
But I'm just saying that.
Would you like me to read to you Stanley's Lakers stats?
No, you don't got to do that. You don't got to do that.
Played
right.
in 48 games.
Nice.
Averaged 23 minutes.
Not bad.
46% from the field. 31% from three.
NBA numbers.
71% from the free throw line. Yeah. 3 rebounds. 1.7 assists. Less than a steal a game. 6.7 points.
Line that up with Corey Joseph. I guarantee they're the exact same. What are we talking about?
But one's been doing this.
I'm fighting for my life over here. What's the next trade? I don't like the Miami one. That's going to be at the bottom for me.
This is the last one.
Okay. No, I will say, before you read this last team, the two teams that I mentioned up top, neither has been mentioned yet, so I'm curious to see who this is.
Jeremy Grant to the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think it just works financially. I don't think a player has to be thrown in. For picks 22 and 29 in this year.
Nobody has to be thrown in for Memphis?
I don't think so. I think they have like $24 million in cap space.
The picks were low 20s, you said?
22 and 29. So if you want to send 5, 22, and 29 to Houston, move up to 3.
Oh. And then at that point, you're just rolling
just
the dice on
22.
At that point, you're rolling the dice on whoever the best available would be. Whoever is the remainder of those top three you're living with, whoever that's going to be.
Yep.
Whew. Okay. If it's
not saying Houston would do that.
Right.
I'm just saying it's a,
but that would be, that would be what your package would be. Yeah. Okay, if it was used for that would be used for good instead of evil, which would be, because here's my thing is like, I don't, do we need more, like, I had this take the other day and I've been marinating. I don't know if this is a good take or a bad take, so I will let you police this one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are we at a point where I just shouldn't care who we draft in the second round anymore? Because, like, I feel like Saban was the last second round pick that might matter. And then Isaiah Livers has a case, too. I think Isaiah Livers might be pretty decent.
But Isaiah Livers has a better case than Saban at this point, yeah.
Okay, and that's totally valid.
Yeah.
But, like, are we kind of turning the corner on – like, I don't – Bolsa Koprivica, all the love in the world to you, brother. I don't really think I'm ever really expecting anything to come out of that one. Like, and we're sitting here –
I've never personally, like, been invested on second-round picks, like, outside of 35. Like, it is – like, it's – the you're talking about day three of the NFL draft, essentially, when you get to the middle of the second round.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, like, have we kind of turned the corner enough that we have enough young guys that we really don't need to freak out over these second-round picks anymore? Like, the Kyrie Thomases of the world, I think we're good now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I think the thing with the Bruce and Kyrie Thomas, though, if I recall, the Pistons didn't have a first-round pick that year. I think it
correct.
Was, correct. It was Bruce, and then they traded for Kyrie.
Yeah, and Bruce was a home run. For a second round, from where we got picked. Him, yeah. Absolute home run. He's playing, like, legit playoff minutes for, like, a real and, like, he's the perfect Swiss Army knife. He's playing center field for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, he's doing exactly – so he was, by all accounts, just an objectively great pick at a time when we needed it the most. I'm just saying now think we have enough stuff that I'm pass on whatever ends up happening. So because of that, I'm sort of in the business of, like, the later in the draft that we're getting stuff, the more I'm just going to be like, so what's this guy's deal? You know what I mean? Because that's how you end up accidentally drafting Max Christie or something. And I don't really want to do that.
You don't want Max Christie?
No.
On your basketball team?
No. No.
Why?
I won't be able to say this without being disrespectful, so I just don't want Max Christie on my basketball team. Wow. Should have stayed another year, probably.
Nah, should have went.
Okay, so let me rank these now. So let me write down
this
last
one. Then we'll get out of here. Nice little 30-minute pod.
So Miami was Duncan, and then what was the pick for Miami?
23... Our first-round pick in 2023 and then another future first.
22 and 29 from... Okay, so I'm going to rank these. I'm going to go Cleveland, Karras, and 14. Oh, I think I got to do Portland and 7 as number one.
I thought that would be one.
Yeah, I have to do that. Portland and 7 is the dream scenario, I think, for most people, and that's how you get the most bang for your buck out of Portland and out of the Jeremy trade, especially because there would be some... some little fun throw-in that people would get excited about. I'm using this name arbitrarily. This is not propaganda.
Oh,
but like,
gosh.
Okay, I won't say it.
Like
but,
CJ Ellerbe.
But his birthday is coming up. As of this recording, his birthday is in 10 days, which also means that my birthday is in 10 days. So you'd have that coming in. Number 7, I think, would end up being whoever you get there, Jalen Duren, Ben Math, whoever it is. It's going to be a guy that I think all Pistons fans are on board with at 7. So that's number 1. Cleveland, Karras, and 14. Bonafide bucket getter. Love that. Everybody loves Karras. Happy that he's healthy again. I know you mentioned the injury history. It's like, well, some of it was also just like he weird almost stuff, died. Yeah. So I'm glad he's okay. On board with that. He's one of the few... like, it was really hard for me to accept that Jordan Poole was good. I hated having to stomach that, but I do now. And I'm like, no, he's nice.
Yeah.
Karras, it was not hard for me. I've loved Karras from the jump, even as a Michigan State fan. 3, I'm going to go Phoenix for the Ayton sign and trade. For the reason that I said before,
you just
which
don't
was...
Ayton. Like, no. I think you should like admit that. No. Because Ayton is getting you the... Well, I think you should say, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, I don't. Like,
Ayton gets you the best player on the Cade timeline out of all these trades, but you're personally just not a fan of DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I just. Well, here's one way that I would be fine with it. Because now the reasons that I don't is purely because of, like, if I had to sit here and think about everything that I know about Troy Weaver. Everything that I think that I know, I should say, then all those signs would point to DeAndre Ayton probably not being the Pistons guy. So that's the camp that I'm in now. However, if the Pistons ended up finding themselves in a position and I get a text one day that says the Pistons just completed a trade and we have DeAndre Ayton now, I'm going to assume that Troy Weaver did his homework and he feels pretty confident about bringing that guy in despite the reported character issues. So if Troy's cool with it, then I'm going to be cool with it too. But until then, no, pass. So it's not even really about basketball. From a basketball perspective, hell yeah, give me DeAndre Ayton. Fourth, the Atlanta thing.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
But for no real reason other than I just need Memphis and Miami to be at the bottom.
Okay.
Just because I really don't want to, like, I don't want to keep pumping, I say keep pumping stuff into Miami like we've done that. We haven't. I'm just saying I don't want anybody to give them anything, and I would prefer that they moved. Because I don't like them. I don't like Miami, and I don't like
their
fans.
Wait, like moved, like became like the Cincinnati Heat?
Yeah, I wish that they maybe move to the Keys or something, or move to give them to Topeka, Kansas or something. Yeah, give the Dominican Republic a basketball team or something. Just get the Heat and all their fans out of here. I do like, ooh, look at you. I do like the Memphis thing.
I remember when the Heatles were there, and you look around that arena, and there's a lot of empty seats. There's too much shit to do in Miami, man. You know, we got time to go watch the Heat play.
The Memphis one, I actually love for the Grizzlies. I love the idea. First of all, aesthetically, Jeremy in a Grizzlies jersey, woo.
What if it's Zaire and 29 instead of 22 and 29?
You know, my first instinct was to say, has that ship sailed? I don't know if it has. He wasn't bad last year.
Zaire was good.
Yeah,
he did stuff in the Warriors series.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, so yeah. I think I can confidently say probably on that one.
You already know Zaire was my guy.
Yeah, through and through
in the draft.
Before we go, why don't I tell you what the two teams were that I liked?
Yes, please.
I'd have to pull up the draft order because I don't remember where either team is picking. Memphis. Minnesota obviously doesn't really have a great pick. I like Minnesota. I like the idea of Jeremy Grant going to Minnesota. It's just the problem is what you're going to get back from that. Because
that's what my thing was. I looked at Minnesota. There's nothing that they would trade back. They're not trading Russell Westbrook. They're not going to trade Pat Beverly.
Say Russell Westbrook?
Wow. D'Angelo Russell. Same thing.
Freudian slip, pretty much the same thing. Although, we can give D'Angelo Russell his flowers this year. We are not big D'Angelo Russell guys, but he was... This year, I was kind of like, all right, I'll be quiet a little bit, but I'm keeping my eye on you. Like, you don't want Jarrett Culver. That's a project that nobody, even some Pistons fans, are like, I'm good on the whole Jarrett Culver experience, which is too bad.
You would need, like, Vanderbilt. Malik
Beasley? You like Malik Beasley?
It's another character thing.
Yeah.
He's the only money-wise, he's the only one that makes sense of guys they'll trade, but I don't know if people have character concerns with Malik Beasley anymore or not, but there's obviously reasons too.
Yeah. I love Washington. And I'm not going to sit here. No, because you want to talk about how hard it is to break news and to get the, like, one of the only nuggets, one of the only little scoops that I've ever given on this show was that the Pistons did not like Denny Avdia in the draft 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And maybe the cards shuffle all the time. Maybe something ended up happening. But I feel pretty confident that the Pistons wouldn't want him. Maybe you facilitate some sort of a Thomas Bryant sign and trade. Give the guy $95 million. I don't know.
That's sick.
Maybe you do something
like
that. Why
don't you just sign Thomas Bryant?
Yeah, 100%. And that's what they should do. You like Rui? I like Rui Hachimura. The guy's been playing with an exploded testicle for 2 years.
I think he's... let me word this delicately because he stepped away from the game for a while. I don't think it ever came out why, but let me just say this. I don't know.
So
I know why Rui wasn't playing, and I don't want to use a certain word.
Gotcha. Let me throw you a rope.
I would not want Rui. I'll say that.
Let me throw you a rope, and I'll get you out of this hole, and I'll put myself in it. Has anybody ever said the story? I don't know if this is public either. I'll just say it. Has anybody ever said the story about the visiting player that broke a TV in the locker room playing video games?
In Detroit?
In Detroit, at LCA. Pretty sure that TV is still broken.
I'm sure they fixed it, but I do remember vaguely hearing something about that. Who was it?
I will not say who it was, but that is a thing that happened. They brought their. I remember about they that. Were like playing video games in the locker before a game, and then they got pissed and broke a TV, and it stayed broken for a while. This happened this season.
Was it DeAndre Ayton?
I will say it was not DeAndre Ayton. Believe it or not, it was not. That would be a great bit if it was. It is not
Bring
DeAndre
it back
Ayton.
Full circle.
Two seconds. Yeah. Colin Sexton, talk to us. We haven't mentioned it. What's going on there?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I haven't asked or heard anything specific about Colin Sexton. I personally, yeah. You're asking me.
Yes,
this
I
is
am.
No reporting. I would be surprised if the Pistons got Colin Sexton. I just think he is a ball-dominant guard who would take touches away from Cade, poor defensively, undersized, have to pay him a decent amount. Like, I'd rather just have
But do you? Work. But here's my question, is do you? Because if the book is out on Colin Sexton and everybody says the same thing, everybody says what you say, which I'm not saying is wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way. I'm just saying if you ask somebody about Colin Sexton, somebody who knows what's going on, that's what they're going to tell you. And then they always say, but you got to pay him his money. Why? Because if everybody thinks this guy fucking stinks, then why are you going to pay him $40 million? You know what I mean?
I think somebody will. I don't think – not $40 million a year. He's not going to get
– No. I'm not saying $40 million a year. No.
I think like if you – I think I would walk away from Colin – like I would just rather have Karis at 18. Just like, that's just me personally.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening to
new
this,
beat. We got a new beat. New beat alert. I haven't sent it to Nick, but you'll hear it.
Oh, I had one in the chamber. If you got one, I'll throw it on there.
I got a new one.
I made one the other day that James liked. Don't say
fire.
Anything about what it was. You liked it, though?
It was fire. Yeah, it was fire. Ooh. That was hard.
Working on something. You guys will see it soon. Don't worry. If you made it this far... thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous.
Aye, aye, aye.
We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.